Blog Talk Radio.
Can y'all help me? Put your hands together. Come on. Can you hear the sound of freedom? We're free because the curse of sin has been broken. And Jesus Christ has set us free.
Yes, we have
the victory already. We are overcomers, but a lot of times it just does not feel that way. And this show, Don't Give Up Radio, is designed for those of you who may be going through a very tough time in your life, no matter what area of your life it is, and you just feel like giving up. I'm here to tell you that I have been through my fair share of tough and difficult times and felt like giving up. But because of holding on to God and holding on to his promises, I am still here. And he's no respecter of persons. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. And so tonight, we're going to continue on our journey of helping us to see the various areas in our lives that really need that application of faith, because really that's what faith is for. Now, last week we talked about one of the damaging areas in marriages, which is the couple's sex life. But this week, and many people have said this is the number one issue, we're talking about money. And we're going into a very specific aspect of money, and I hope to do other shows where we elaborate and go further. But people have just gotten finished filing their taxes, and even to my surprise this year, for the very first time, I was in a situation where I owed money instead of getting back a return. It was a bit of a shock and a bit of surprise to me. So tonight we have with us founder of Integrity Tax Relief, Sam Hamilton, with us, who is also a believer and who has built very strong principles into his company in order to help those of you who may be on the verge of just throwing in the towel because you think it's just too much and there's no way to dig yourself out of this hole. Welcome, Sam. I'm really glad you're with us.
Well, I'm definitely want to thank you for the opportunity. I'm definitely excited about being able to speak with you and the audience tonight. And I'm just overall excited about the opportunity and thankful as well. Thank you for having me.
Well, great. Thank you. We're going to get right into it. Time goes so quickly here. And, you know, some people, you know, the concept of taxes themselves is something that seems burdensome and, you know, you kind of want to close your eyes and not deal with it. How did you manage to fall in love with this as a career?
Well, for myself, I've always had a love for mathematics. I've always had a love for dealing with numbers. So, you know, anytime I was able to put numbers in front of myself or be able to do some type of work or put forth some type of energy or effort towards any type of work, it would definitely would have had to do with numbers. You know, I traced my childhood back to my elementary days, and mathematics was a subject that I'd always excelled in. I loved it, and you know, as I'd gone through high school, I'd taken an accounting class and excelled in that and learned a lot and went on to college and to study accounting. And as I had gotten into corporate America and starting my career in 2003, you know, I always looked for a particular job that gave me the opportunity to work with numbers, whether that was in the accounting arena, billing, collections, anything that had to do with numbers or monies. I was always enthused to be involved in any way, shape, form, or fashion I could.
You know, that in itself to me is a special gift. I think most people that you speak to either will tell you they weren't good at math or they hated math. I'm at the point now that I just tell people I don't do math. It's not, I just don't do it. But I lean heavily on the verbal skills, on the artistic side, and that's not something that comes natural to me. And so I've learned at this point in my life, instead of trying to cripple myself to make that happen, to find and seek out people like you who love it and have a passion about it and allow you to take that portion of my life over. I think it was a piece of wisdom there. Now, your mother was a tax preparer. Did that have something to do with you focusing on the area?
Well, I would definitely say that opened my eyes up to opportunities that I wasn't aware of. You know, keeping in mind that, you know, I was born in 1980, so I'm an 80s baby. And, you know, a lot of us across the country has experienced, you know, some type of financial challenges at one point or another, whether it was ourselves or whether it was our parents or grandparents or what have you. But I believe a lot of us can relate to, you know, starting from the bottom, so to say. And I'd always noticed during this particular time of the year, there were many blessings that would come about during this time, and I just couldn't figure out exactly how were we being blessed financially during this particular point of the year. But, you know, come to find out, my mother, you know, did get involved in the tax industry, and I knew it was very beneficial, you know, for the family, just from a business standpoint. But also, just from a number standpoint, it was something that I felt that I could get involved with as well, you know, as a professional. So she's been in that arena for quite some time.
Now, you mentioned that you really got into it as a profession around 2003, and you worked.
Deliver me from myself. Search my heart again. It's nobody else, no.
You already know.
You know all of my sins. Maybe I can fool my church.
Maybe I can fool my friends. But you already know.
If nobody else knows, you know all of my sins.
I can dress up in the baddest suit in the world. Slip on patent leather.
I can carry around my Bible every day. But Lord, you and me know the truth.
You know my discrimination. You know how I treat my neighbors. You know
my possessiveness, my arrogance. Deliver me from
myself.
Deliver me from myself. Search my heart again. If nobody else knows,
you already know.
You know all of my sins. Deliver me from myself. Deliver me from myself. Search my heart again. If nobody else knows,
you already know my sin.
Maybe I can fool my church. Maybe I can fool my friends. Deliver me from. Deliver me from. Deliver me from.
Lord, I need your help denying myself. Deliver me from myself. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies, especially when it comes to the areas of finances. This is Don't Give Up Your Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans. We had a little technical difficulty there, but we are both back. Sam, can you hear me?
I'm here.
Okay, wonderful. So right before we left off, I was asking you, you decided to go into this field, and a couple years in, you decided to branch out and go out on your own. What was it exactly that led you to that decision?
Well, you know, after being in corporate America, you know, for about a 5-6 year period or so, I had gotten to a point where I felt I'd gained enough experience, acquired enough knowledge, and through my tenure in corporate America, I'd always wanted to stretch myself to be able to excel and do greater things than what I was currently doing. And, you know, in some of those positions in corporate America, there was a cap or a ceiling that I'd constantly run into. And, you know, given that the timing and myself wanting to start a family and leave something for my family, I felt that it was definitely time for me to get some things started before I turned the age of 30. And I felt that, you know, going into the field of entrepreneurship and starting my own business was going to be the best route for me to take. But not only being able to do that, but being able to do so at a level of providing quality services to the country in the tax sector of business.
Right, because, you know, the realities are when you're working for others, you can definitely learn a lot at that juncture, but at the same time, you don't want to allow that to guide and direct. You know, you get ideas in terms of how you would do things. I want to find out, now, you decided that you were going to take this leap of faith and start your own business. Talk to me about what that looked like.
Well, it was in 2010 when I started contemplating and really giving more thought to going out and starting my own business due to the experiences that I'd acquired and also some of the experiences that I've seen firsthand as an employee, you know, from a tax resolution standpoint in that particular industry, that I felt, you know, quality of service and a servant mentality was key to the successes of any business in any endeavor, but in particularly the tax sector in that particular industry. But the company that I was working for had gone through legal challenges, you know, with the public and with their, you know, customer base or what have you. And my income was affected myself, and my wife was pregnant, and she was getting ready to have a baby in June of 2010. So what I decided to do was be proactive and put a plan together. It took a couple of months of thought and planning and writing and strategizing, but it came a point in time where I had to make sure I had a plan before I decided to take that leap of faith to walk off my job to, you know, start my own business.
Right, and I'm definitely want you to share this for those who are listening to understand that you are someone who've even walked through and practiced some of the things and the skills that you would give to others to do, that you created a plan of execution and you stuck to the plan. And what's really interesting is that you did not do this during a luxurious time in the market. You did this during the time that our economy was in a recession. You did this during a time where people were not trusting of your particular industry. So nothing really said this is the time to step out on faith and start my own business in this area. It wasn't logical to do that, but you knew that this was your time to do it, and you not only stepped out on faith, but you created a plan that was effective to make that happen. And that's really the core of what you help people do, correct?
Absolutely. You know, not only do we provide a service, but, you know, our clients are people. They're not numbers. So, you know, we like to develop long-term relationships and, you know, relationships with our clients and to be able to go above and beyond the call of duty and go the extra mile to be able to serve them in any above any needs above and beyond what we provide as a business. You know, we just want to be of a resource to our clients and the public.
I'm curious, though, how did your wife take the information? Because, you know, again, we're saying money can be a huge stressor in marriages. So here you are, you have this dream, you want to step out, you have the faith for it. How did you take that home, and how did the two of you work through that?
Well, one of the most important things that was important to me is to make sure my wife was involved in the decision-making process, but also having her support as well, and just being transparent with her and letting her know that, you know, it is going to be a process. It's not going to be a cakewalk. You know, there will be peaks, there will be valleys, and I just ask that you support me and the vision and the efforts through those peak times and the times that, you know, we find ourselves in the valley. And believe you me, we've been in the valley through this process, but just having her involvement and, you know, letting her know the most important thing for me is her support, and she's been more than supportive of the vision and the efforts, and, you know, we're 4 years into it now, so it seems like yesterday, but time has definitely passed by, but her support was key, and her being involved and just really understanding the gist of what I'm doing, you know, and it's something that I had been doing for almost 4 years as an employee, but it was time to step in and build my own brand and lead by example in the industry.
Right. And you, the name of your business is Integrity Tax Relief. And why was it important to you to go with that name?
Well, there's a few meanings behind the word integrity. You know, when you think about integrity, most of us think about honesty, trustworthy, you know, being transparent with individuals. While that is definitely the number one factor, given that, you know, there are companies and were companies out there that just simply the level of integrity, and that led to their demise. So we understood that, you know, integrity is going to be core, you know, and that's something John Maxwell talks about, you know, in the 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership is integrity is the foundation, you know, that's going to sustain a business. And that was right in alignment with my own personal values as an individual to be able to operate at a level of integrity. But if you think about the word integrity, you know, it comes from a Greek word, integra, which means wholeness. What we want, you know, our staff and any employees of Integrity Tax Relief, even the owners of Integrity Tax Relief, to know that integrity for us as a company means wholeness. Each of us as individuals and as professionals are, you know, a spoke in a wheel. And if you think about a wheel and it may have 10 spokes, those 10 spokes represent each staff member that's involved with Integrity Tax Relief. And if we understand our mission, our vision, our values, and different things of that nature, that gives us a better chance of operating with integrity. And anytime one of us, you know, are not operating along those lines of high ethics and integrity and values and morals and ethics or what have you, then we're not whole as a company. And that, you know, makes the foundation shaky. So, you know, but between the two, we wanted to make sure that we looked at it from a cultural standpoint as a company, but also, you know, what it means for us in terms of values and ethics, which is
right,
all about honesty and serving.
Right. When having you on the show, you know, just for people who are listening, this is not an infomercial. This is not an advertisement. He has not paid me to do this. It's just understanding what the goal is of the business and also this personal story that comes along with this. But I want to switch gears right now and kind of start speaking to the people who are listening who have tax issues and who feel overwhelmed. And it is interesting because even biblically there's so much more in Scripture about money than there is about love, interestingly enough. And even one of the famous parables when they tried to ensnare Jesus regarding taxes and money, and he gave the famous response, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and render unto God what is God's. And we are to pay taxes. That is our responsibility as citizens to do that. However, it is a bit of a shock to you when you suddenly realize that you owe a deal of money and you don't have a method of or a plan of paying that back. Now, you represent people who owe from thousands to millions. What would you say to a low-income person or a person who is just overwhelmed right now and just wants to ignore this situation and not look at it?
Well, I guess the first thing that I would say is if you have a tax problem that you're currently experiencing, it's not going to go away on its own. It's not going to fix itself. Secondly, you're not alone. You're not the only taxpayer that's dealing with the situation that you're dealing with. Number three, there are individuals that have tax problems that are much worse than what you may currently have. In terms of the entire picture. But most importantly, there are services that are available. There are resources that are available to you to assist you. It's really just a matter of reaching out, sticking your hand out, and having someone grab it, but having the right person grab your hand as well. But action is going to lead to results. And as long as you're putting forth the effort and the action to reach out and take that first step, that's going to lead you to your end results. And it's a process. You know, I tell a lot of our clients, you know, you don't get off track overnight. We don't get you back on track overnight. It is a process. So you just have to take that leap of faith and reach out for help. There are resources out there.
So it really is a matter of perspective and how you look at it, because I know for myself I can think, well, gosh, I barely have enough to take care of my regular monthly expenses. How am I now going to throw more money at trying to get out of the situation? And you can't really see how it's beneficial. Do you have any success stories that you can share of people who may have been in that type of a crunch and made it through the other side?
Absolutely. You know, one of my favorite stories that I like to share is we had a couple local here in Houston, Texas. They owed the IRS a little bit over $100,000, and these were payroll taxes. These weren't individual taxes. These taxpayers had the responsibility as business owners to not only pay their employees for their labor, but they also have the responsibility of withholding their employees' taxes and paying their portion of taxes as a business owner. These were the type of taxes that this couple owed. But they were going through a financial hardship. You know, the tax problem, they've been dealing with it for about 5 or 6 years or so. But they, you know, they were experiencing a financial hardship. The husband was working. The wife was not working. In fact, they just had a newborn child, but things were really tough for them financially. Now, did it take 2 years for us to get it resolved? Yes, it did take 2 years to get it resolved. Did they have the financial wherewithal to afford our services up front? Absolutely not, but they made the sacrifices and had the right perspective and put a value to the resources and the help that they were seeking. And in the end, we were able to settle their taxes for $324. So, you know, a lot of people may say, well, that sounds too good to be true. Well, it's true.
They went from owing $100,000 to $300 and change?
$324.
So that in itself tells me why it's worth it to seek a professional, because now clearly that situation that they were under, you had the expertise to know how to turn it around. That's fabulous. But I'm sure they stuck to the plan. As hard as it was, they stuck to the plan. Have you ever had the reverse, where you have someone coming in, they have maybe the equal amount of debt or even higher, but there's a resistance to stick to the plan, and how do you handle that as a business?
Well, I mean, we've had some individuals that has repeated the same patterns that got them off track, repeated the same patterns once they made the commitment to hire us to get back on track. And, you know, we're not talking about just, you know, regular everyday taxpayers. We're talking about former professional athletes, you know. You know the saying, you know, it's not always greener on the other side. You know, we've had the experience where we've had former professional athletes that has hired us, and, of course, they owed into the millions.
Wow.
You know, that just simply didn't do their part. And, you know, Integrity Tax Relief, you know, we're going to stand behind our commitment and our name to do everything within our power to serve our clients and help them get back on track. But some individuals just feel that they can pay us monies and we can just fix it on our own. But, you know, it requires, you know, their involvement as well. You know, and some people say, well, if you have money, you can do anything and everything. And this is one instance where I would say you can pay us all the money that you would like to pay us for our services, but it still is going to require some effort from you on the back end and through the process. But we've had customers that pay us and disappear, and we would call them, you know, over and over, and, you know, we'll make sure that we put forth every effort that we can, at least over a period of months, before we say, you know, this is it. We've called you. We've gotten no response. We've got to stop expounding energy with someone that's not responsive and put forth more energy with those that want the help and really desire to get the help. And we will revisit with them down the road, but we've just got to, you know, put it to the side for now until they come out, take their head out of the sand, for lack of better words. And, you know, that's kind of what happens that gets a lot of people off track, is ignoring it. And, again, it's not going to fix itself. We're going to do our part, just ask our clients to do their part. So.
And that can happen to the big guy or the little guy. It's really your perspective, as I said earlier, and how you handled the situation. And I think you had a wonderful quote earlier when you said that your situation is your situation and your actions have created the results of that situation. So you have to have different thinking so that you can have different actions and then different results. And that's just the reality of it.
Absolutely.
So now, I wanted to ask you before I go into the next song, more so to the person, the listener, from a social emotional standpoint, who's going through this financial crisis, and they're thinking about giving up. And the objective of our show, Don't Give Up, is to really have people not abandon life, not to give up on God, but to believe that they can, you know, that He will pull them through. And like I said, there's plenty of scriptures on finances, and many people, when they're in this, you hear the misquote of, you know, the love of money being the root of all evil, and or money being the root of all evil, but it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. Talk to that person and just encourage them a little bit as to why they should not give up, but rather get up and go and make a difference.
Absolutely. You know, I believe that, if we start talking about perspective, we have to really keep perspective in mind when we start looking at money or looking at finances or looking at riches. And, you know, just a few things that I would like, you know, for us to be able to ponder on is, you know, number one, the grass isn't always greener on the other side. You know, you know, a lot of people say, you know, money doesn't buy happiness. Now, I will say it does help you breathe better, but it doesn't buy happiness, meaning, you know, there are some well-off financially, but they're not happy themselves. You know, there's other riches to life as opposed to just monies. You know, just having a positive mental attitude, you know, if, you know, Napoleon Hill is one of my favorite authors. I've studied him a lot. You know, he talks about the 12 riches of life and money being the last thing, but a positive mental attitude, you know, sound physical health, you know, freedom from fear, the hope of achievement. And when you talk about the hope of achievement, we're talking about faith. And, you know, if we refer to the word says, you know, faith without works is dead. And it goes back to the acronym, you know, that I like to share with people about raising the bar. You know, your beliefs plus your actions are going to equal your results. So if you look at that from a cardinal standpoint or a principal standpoint and align that from a, you know, with the spiritual standpoint and the word being faith without works is dead, you know, a number of us have faith, you know, and for those that don't have faith, sometimes we've got to borrow the belief that other people have in us until we get a belief of our own. That, and I'm speaking from personal experience. There's been times in my life where I wasn't sure of myself or I wasn't sure if, you know, I had the capabilities to excel. But sometimes you've got to give yourself permission to succeed because, you know, everyone's not going to be, you know, cheering you on. You know, you're going to have individuals that's going to stick their leg out and try and trip you up. But what you've got to do is you've got to be able to give yourself permission to succeed. You've got to give yourself permission to win. And sometimes you've got to borrow the belief that you know other people have in you until you can get your own belief. And it's a process. But, you know, don't give up. You know, everybody see the glory, but they don't know the story. You know, when you see the lights, camera, action, and everyone seems to be happy because they have a lot of money, but a lot of people really don't know the story behind the story, you know, of what that person went through to get there. And I can speak for myself, you know, second year in business, I felt the pain. But you know what keeps me going? I know statistically speaking, and remember, I love numbers, statistically speaking, most businesses are going to go out of business within the first 5 years. But a large percentage of those businesses are going to go out within the first 2 years. So what does that tell me? All I have to do is beat the odds. If I beat the odds, that's going to increase my chances of success and being able to excel. But I have to have a certain level of faith, and I've got to trust the process. But I've also have to put in the works to create the results. But, to you know, if anyone else hasn't said that they believe in you, Samuel Hamilton out of Houston, Texas, believes in you, and you have permission to succeed.
I love that. And with that, I'm going to play this song to give you a little bit more motivation. And when we return, we're going to talk more about motivation. Up. That's what we have to do. It's easy to succumb. It's easy to fall. It's easy to just throw your hands in the air and say, you know what, I just can't do this. But you have been given the power. If you are in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that power to available to you to tap into. And if you're listening tonight and you don't know what I'm talking about, it is as simple as Romans 10, 9, and 10, which says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. And once you do that, his power, his spirit dwells in you, comforts you, gives you the guidance and the wisdom that you need for life. It's not that we don't have problems or issues like everyone else, but that wisdom is made available. And if you're listening tonight and you're in this circumstance, this is the wisdom that is coming to you to try to encourage you and to help you through what you may be going through. And I want you to know there are people in this society that we look up to that we don't realize how they strategize to get to where they are. We just look at them and we say, oh my gosh, look at President Obama or look at Oprah, but we don't realize the steps. And I don't know if you're aware of these two things that I want to mention, Sam, is that when Oprah's show was going off the air and they were giving her tribute, I found Stedman said something that was so profound. Up until the day her show went off the air, she's a billionaire and a mega mogul, and he said he noted that she packed her lunch, even still, every single day to come into the office. And I've shared that with people, and they said, oh, well, she has a chef. It doesn't matter that she has a chef, because the reality is she's still being frugal enough to pack her lunch and bring it to work every day when she can afford to cater for the whole floor every day, you know? But she put herself under that restraint, and that was not a new lesson for her because she was in debt many decades prior, and she had to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches for a year and a half to 2 years to get out of that debt situation. But she was so committed to not being in debt that she made that sacrifice of eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every day. How many of us are willing to change our mindset and go through the process and endure that type of situation so that we can come out of where we are? And I think that's a very strong point. And the other, I just learned this week, we had some strategists come in who worked on the Obama campaign. And this has nothing to do whether you voted for him or didn't. This is not the issue. The issue is they had over 40 strategies towards winning and getting back in the White House. Over 40 strategies that would get them there. So they weren't banking on just one method, on one road. They had over 40. And as soon as one thing failed on one end, they were able to come in, solidify, and use this plan over here. And I just thought that was amazing. I thought if I would handle my life that way, how much more effective would I be if I had these plans and strategies in place? And that's what you're able to do. You're able to step out of someone's financial situation and build that plan and strategy for them and even advocate on their behalf. So that's great. We've established that. But now there's a motivational side to you as well. You have a passion for speaking to youth and building their consciousness. And I know there's 6 points to your motivational speaking. Can you tell us what those 6 points are?
Well, at this point in my life, you know, I've come to the conclusion that, you know, if you focus on 6 particular areas of your life, you know, you'll definitely be able to notice some type of progress in your own personal life in the first goal setting. You know, the second thing is leadership. The third thing that I like to speak about is mindset. The fourth thing is, you know, how you spend your time. Fifth thing is environment. And lastly, but not least, is education. So, you know, when I go out and speak to the youth, you know, I like to, build my topics of discussion around those 6 particular areas. And the reason I've done so is because I know from firsthand experience that those are the areas that has helped me. Not only has it helped myself, but it has helped other individuals as well. So those are the, you know, 6 key areas that I believe if you really look at those areas a little bit closer, you know, you'll be able to definitely notice a change in your life for the better as well.
Well, can you give us a practical tip on each one of those? I guess because our time, just give us one tip for each one of your 6 points.
Well, you know, when you start talking about goal setting, you know, I believe the you know, a goal is a dream with a deadline. You know, that's what goals really are. You know, we all have dreams. We all have ambitions. We all have places that we want to go in life. But have we taken out the time to write our goals on paper? Not only that, but have we taken out the time to, you know, put a deadline to our goal? Otherwise, if we don't have a deadline, it ends up being a dream that we never wake out of. It gives us a level of accountability for ourselves to be able to make sure that we increase our chances of being able to reach that goal. And keep in mind, goals are not a destination. It's a point of the process to a greater goal. And, you know, when you write down your goals, you know, there will be obstacles that will come up. But with those obstacles, if you have action steps to overcome those obstacles, those are the things that's going to help you increase your chances of getting to your goal. So what you want to do is you want to make sure that you have a plan in place. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. But keeping in mind that when we write these goals down, we want to make sure that we take time to think about what we want to accomplish and put a deadline to it. You know, in terms of, you know, that's a mindset that you've got to have, you know, when you're putting your goals together. You know, do you have a mindset of being a victim, or do you have a mindset of being victorious? Meaning these goals that you set forth, you know, are you going into this with the mindset that you're going to win when everything is said and done, and losing is not an option? Do you have a mindset that this goal that you've put forth to accomplish by this deadline, you don't have any retreat options? You sink or you swim. You make it there or you die trying. You climb it up the mountain or you're going to die on the side. That's a mindset. You know, when we think about, you know, when I talk about leadership, I talk about, you know, leaders lead from the front, not from the back. You know, meaning, you know, when you notice, you know, most leaders, they're going to be out in public, you know, in some way, shape, form, or fashion, whether they're serving other people, whether they're, you know, speaking to other people, or whether they're putting forth some type of or exuding some type of physical effort to bring forth a result, they're out in front. You know, and a lot of the functions that leaders have, it's not always comfortable. So, you know, from a leadership standpoint, sometimes we've got to get out of our comfort zone, because our comfort zone is our failure zone. You know, if we're not uncomfortable, we're not growing. So what I've done as an individual is, you know, I've put myself in situations deliberately that I knew was uncomfortable in order for me to grow as an individual if I'm going to call myself a leader. Keeping in mind that, you know, all leaders are readers, but not all readers are leaders, in which, you know, leads to education, you know. Garbage in, garbage out. What are we feeding our minds each day? You know, a lot of us spend a lot of time, you know, listening to radio or watching TV or, you know, talking to other individuals on the phone or what have you, or gossiping or, you know, reality shows or what have you. But, you know, what are we feeding our minds? You know, is it, you know, positive information or is it negative information? You know, a lot of people, you know, when we have friends or family members, you know, that may come around us or what have you, they may have a negative vibe or energy or conversation. And, you know, just by listening to that information, it can be toxic. So we have to look at our relationships to determine, you know, are our relationships nourishing, you know, or are they toxic relationships? But, you know, in terms of education, we want to make sure that, you know, we're reading information that's going to help us grow, help us to empower ourselves. But in that, we're able to empower other people as well. You know, I'm reminded of an interview that Jerry Clark had did. And he was talking with Joe Frazier. Joe Frazier was speaking about how you spend your time with people. You know, and he was just talking about how you have to be careful about how you spend your time. You can't spend major time with minor people. Well, that's not going anywhere. Not because you don't care about those people, but in a lot of cases, you know, when you look at toxic relationships, people that's not going anywhere sometimes want you to not go there with them, not go anywhere with them. So when you look at your environment, it's very critical to pay attention to, you know, who you're hanging around, who you're spending your time with, you know, and that comes, you know, down to time management. You know, we all get 24 hours in a day. You know, we're going to sleep 8 hours. Most of us are going to work 8 to 10 hours, you know, maybe even 12 hours. You know, what are you doing with those other, you know, 6, 7 hours or so that you have in a day? That's what's going to separate you and help you get ahead as an individual is time management and really being aware of how you spend your time. You know, when you look at your 5 closest friends, you're going to dress like them. You're going to talk like them. You're going to walk like them. You're probably going to make about the same monies that they make. But more importantly, you're going to think like them. What's been said before, birds of a feather flock together. So I believe it's extremely important for us to keep all of those things in perspective as we're moving ahead.
Well, you have said a mouthful, and we are wrapping up for the night, but I just want to highlight a few of the things that you said that just stuck out to me. And right off the top, you know, as we set goals and we adjust our mindset, we have to go in it expecting challenges. We have to understand that it's going to be difficult. Like you said to your wife when you were taking your step, there are going to be valleys, and to go into it with that mindset, and to that way when it comes, you're not thrown for a loop, you're braced for it, and you're able to get through it because you understand it's just a part of the process of making your way out to the other side. And the fact that you have to put yourself in outside of your comfort zone, you know, engage with people who are smarter than you, that know more than you, do a task that you've never done and risk failure. But this is the way we learn. This is the way that we grow. And, you know, when you talk about our youth today, I walked in the elevator the other day with 3 college students, and all of them had their heads down and headphones in, and they were just zoned into their social media. And while there's value to social media, that cannot be the source of your input. That can't be the source of your communication and your education, because there's so much more to it than that, and you can't get all that you need from those resources. You have to interact with human beings. And the quote that you gave, that you can't spend major time with minor people, is so crucial. And I think people can listen to that and take it the wrong way. It's not esteeming yourself more than you should or puffing yourself up in any way. They understand that time is valuable. That's one thing we cannot get back as human beings. And so you need to spend that time as wisely as possible. And so while you can try to give everybody attention, you cannot immerse your time the same way with everyone. Sam, do me a favor. Can you tell everybody how they can find you, follow up with you if they wanted to, you know, follow up with you in terms of tax advice or even use you to come and speak to their young people?
Absolutely. You can, if you're in need or know of anyone that's in need of tax advice or representation, feel free and visit our website, integritytaxrelief.com. You can also find Integrity Tax Relief on Facebook at Integrity Tax Relief. Also on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at Integrity Tax R. You can also contact us directly at our toll-free number. That number is 1-800-517-0146. If you're looking to just, you know, speak with myself personally, if you're facing any type of challenges or just want to have someone to speak with, you can find myself on Facebook at Sam Hamilton. You can also email me at shamiltonitr@gmail.com. And you can also go to www.sammotivates.com. And that is our temporary landing spot for the official website to launch in the near future.
Okay, great. Well, thank you for being on tonight. I really appreciate having you, and I hope others will be blessed as they realize it, this is something they can tackle. This is something they can manage with God's help and expertise that's given to them out there. Next week, we're going to be giving you a show that was supposed to air. However, we had technical difficulties, so this is the wonderful episode on relationships. She's in, I'm out, with Dominique Antonio. So please tune in next week as we cover that. And until then, continue to be your own best hero and don't let yourself down. You have the greatest hero of all. Stay by your side, and you are an overcomer.
Can y'all help me? Put your hands together. Come on. Can you hear the sound of freedom?